Fury Electric Studio, joined by Matty T. Gentlemen, tonight's game again, after the Mike Anderson Show, we will tune right into the BCS National Championship game. Chris, your thoughts on tonight's matchup with Florida State and Auburn?
Well, both teams, I think, rightfully deserve to be there. Florida State, to me, is the what I think is the better overall team. Now, their schedule is nothing, not even on the same page as what Auburn's had to do and go through this season to get to this game. But when you look at top to bottom Florida State's team, there's so many incredible athletes that they're able to utilize to not only make plays on offense, they're not just outscoring people, they're stopping people. You know, that's the big thing. And Auburn is scoring a lot of points, but they're not really stopping a lot of people. They're making big stops when it counts. But how many times can you do that against the high-powered offense of Florida State? And really, my player of the game to watch tonight is Kelvin Benjamin. That 6'5", 230, and runs about a 4.5. I mean, just the prototypical receiver NFL teams are going to be looking for. I think he's the player to watch tonight.
Well, nobody's been able to, in recent weeks, stop Auburn from running the football. And, I mean, if they get 350, 400 yards in this game, they're going to win it, I would imagine. But
yeah,
if anybody can do it, it'll be Florida State with their athleticism, you know, on the defensive line and then a linebacker as well. So I'm going to be really curious to see if they can make Nick Marshall pass.
Yep.
And then, you know what, I think everybody believes, having seen what we've seen from him, that they can win the game that way, but it'd be interesting to see them have to win the game through the air a little bit.
Exactly. And one thing that I want to bring up, too, is a point you've made about the system itself and this long layoff. And I know we talked to Barrett a little bit about that, but I think if it was closer to the end of the regular season, maybe a couple weeks after, I'd give Auburn the edge just because that momentum that they had was so strong and able to uplift them to get to the game. But a whole month off where you sit around, you read all the media reports, you read the newspaper, I just think that layoff might end up hurting Auburn a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think Arkansas, the best news for them as far as their schedule goes next year, knowing you have to play Auburn at Auburn, is that you're playing in the first week of the year.
Yeah.
I think catching them before they're really settled in, and now in this case, after they've had a long layoff, it helps you a little bit. However, that means all those running backs, the offensive line, they're all getting fresh. I mean, you know, they're so good at doing what they do now at this point. I just think it's going to be tough, but it's going to be fun to watch it all play out. And the other thing is, again, one of the things I'm curious to see, if it's a close game, which I expect it will be, how will Jameis Winston perform under pressure when he has to make something happen? Because they've had it so easy. I mean, how many times, Chris, has he barely played in the second half?
I mean, almost every game this season, at the end of the third quarter, he's locking, you know, down his final drive of the game, and then he's out for most of the fourth quarter, which is kind of scary. His numbers could have been so much more had he stayed in the game all games this year. But you know what he has? He has something that you don't typically see in young quarterbacks. It's not a cockiness. It's just this. It's a comfort level out there on the field and with his teammates, and they're able to kind of rally around that. I think in a pressure situation, I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to do just fine. Has enough weapons around him, at least, to feel comfortable going into any situation.
Well, they run by committee, which is good for them. From a health standpoint, it becomes less important that one guy, of course, Freeman's their leader, but that one guy does it all. You know, I am curious, and we've seen it, and God forbid that it happens, but, you know, if an injury occurs or somebody gets dinged up and isn't quite right for the rest of the game, you know, how does that affect it? We've seen a quarterback go down in a national championship game, unfortunately.
Yeah.
None of us lost sleep because it was Texas, but anyway, it can happen, certainly, and we saw it, you know, last night. Arkansas State went in trying to make it work with Kennedy. They knew it was a possibility with his injury that he would not be able to go, but again, that can be part of the mix as well. They have so many good running backs, though, and so many weapons they can roll at you. 53 points a game, and the numbers offensively are obscene, and again, considering they shut it down, basically, in the second half for the majority of the year, it's pretty scary. But I would anticipate a shootout. I don't expect that they're going to be able to just, you know, shut down Auburn either.
Yeah, you talk about running back by committee, also receiving by committee, three receivers with at least 900 yards receiving.
That's pretty amazing.
That's almost unheard of in college football.
Yeah, it really is.
And they all could be over 1,000, if you think about it, after the end of this game, easily. So,
right.
I mean, three receivers at 1,000 yards in college football is just remarkable.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And look at this. I mean, they've got Benjamin's got 14 touchdowns. Green's got 9. And Kenny Shaw has 6 touchdowns. And then you look over at Auburn, and it's Sammy Coates with 7, and nobody else has more than 3.
Yeah. And then also you forget about their tight end, too. Nick O'Leary for Florida State, just another offensive weapon. It kind of reminds me of the Razorbacks circa 2010, where they had the three receivers, you know, Adams, Wright, and Childs, when they were all healthy, and the DJ Williams at the same time. That option that they had was really almost unstoppable. Well, this is just on a higher level.
Well, we saw it in the Missouri game. I mean, a back-and-forth game, a shootout, you know, and really for the Auburn or the Alabama game, rather, you know, most of the night, too, kind of a back-and-forth game. But it is amazing all the things that have had to go right. The Hail Mary, you know, the field goal woes with Alabama. It's just been a really remarkable ride for Auburn. Even if they don't happen to win this championship game, they've had a spectacular season. And I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch tonight, without a doubt. So it's hard to believe that it's just about over, though.
It's really sad. It's bittersweet. I mean, the biggest game of the year, also the final game, it's just... We're going to go, I don't even know, a couple hundred days now of no actual playing of football. We'll still be talking about it, of course, but
well, with Arkansas's troubles this year, we'll be talking a lot about next month, because recruiting and signing day becomes so much more important with the issues that Arkansas had this season and
crucial.
Trying to upgrade from a talent standpoint. So, interesting story in the local paper here that came out over the weekend, Chris.
What's that?
About Jeremy Pruitt, who we had a chance to meet at the Broyles Award this year. He was nominated.
Yeah.
As a defensive coordinator from Florida State. He's an Alabama guy. He is a former Hoover High coach.
Yes.
I think a lot of folks are familiar with Hoover. And also spent some time at Alabama. So knows his way around here. And I'm sure, anyway, just an interesting connection here to the state of Alabama. And obviously everybody's been eaten up with, in Mobile, the GoDaddy Bowl. But also they've been, you know, talking at the same time about the national championship with Auburn being in it.
And when we talked to him, too, he was talking to us about how Nick Saban, you know, when he first got there, he wanted to make sure he hired, you know, a prominent high school football coach in the state. You know, that was important to him for recruiting. And I think Jeremy Pruitt's dad was also a coach. So he grew up in the coaching tree there. So you know a guy who's been around the game a long, long time, and he's learned on one of really what people have considered one of the best defensive minds in college football history, Nick Saban.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of upsets over the weekend, so I would say that would bode well for Auburn with all the upsets that happened over the weekend. How about the Clemson Tigers, the Missouri Tigers, a couple of really entertaining games over the weekend, and then, of course, Arkansas State scoring an upset last night. So
great year to be a Tiger right now. Maybe the Auburn Tigers can continue that trend. In all four BCS games, the underdog has won. Will it be a fifth?
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
That is, I mean, Vegas right now is scrambling, or at least they have been. Underdogs.
Well, more and more money has come in on Florida State here in the final days before the championship game. I still think the over is the best bet if you happen to be in Vegas or have other ways of laying wagers. I still think that's the best bet tonight, because I expect the offenses to reign supreme tonight. I'll be very, very surprised if Florida State can shut down Auburn, and I will be shocked if Auburn can shut down Florida State at all. So I expect it'll be like a – he said – I think Barrett said high 30s for both teams, 38-35 or something like that with Florida State winning. I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the 40s or even got to 50
for
one of the teams. I think it's going to be back and forth. It'll be tennis matchish. Which, you know what, it's a new era. So much for defense winning championships, right?
Well, one thing to keep in mind, though, remember a couple of years ago, Auburn with Cam Newton, Michael Dyer, and an offense when Gus was there that was rolling, and Oregon, who we all know has an offense that is almost unstoppable until they face Stanford. That was supposed to be a high-scoring national championship game, and it wasn't. And I'm not saying that you can directly compare, but the last time we got hyped up about a game like this, it ended up not fitting that bill.
Well, no, but fast-paced offenses that rely on execution, and, you know, Auburn is a little bit different because of the running game, although it's a very precise thing that they do. It's not like they're just lining up the I formation and handing it off to the tailback. It's a little bit different way of doing things. But, it, you know, you do see the layoff impact the efficiency of offenses, so that's probably a good point to be made, Chris. It may be a little lower scoring than we expect.
I mean, I hope it isn't. I'm hoping it's a high-scoring game that is wildly entertaining.
61.
Oh, it would be amazing.
Great.
Back and forth the whole time. It's just we get so caught up in the numbers that we forget these teams have had a month to study every aspect of every game, not just a week, so they're able to delve so much more into it. And sometimes it actually ends up being more of a defensive game than we anticipate.
Jim's Razorback Pizza Report coming up at 11 o'clock. More on the GoDaddy Bowl coming up as well. We'll talk some NFL. We have some entertainment news from over the weekend. I did catch a flick over the weekend that I'll let you know about coming up in a few minutes. Jason from Bryan has some Arkansas news as well, and this is something we became aware of in the last hour or so, that there was going to be a press conference up on the Hill today. Jason, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I didn't know if you had. I just turned in about 10:15 or so. That Trey Flowers will be announcing today that he's going to the NFL at 12 o'clock.
Yep.
Yeah. So I didn't know if you guys seen that. That makes me. Did you watch the Army All American game?
Sure didn't.
Okay. Well, did you see that? Did you know that we got a pick? We got an offensive tackle, a top 100 player that picked us over Alabama.
I did see that.
Yeah, we got him. I was going to.
Brian Wallace, is that right?
Brian Wallace. He's a really good offensive tackle from St. Louis. His teammate was already committed to Arkansas as a defensive tackle. But the only reason, real reason why I asked is because Solomon Thomas was a guy. He had two sacks in the game. He's a defensive end from Coppell, Texas. His sister goes to the University of Arkansas, and right now it's down to pretty much Ohio State, Stanford. Texas is in the mix a little bit, especially now that they had Charlie Strong in Arkansas. So I was going to say it's even more imperative that we we somehow get Solomon Thomas now at defensive end. Because we do have, you know, with Brandon Lewis, Mike Winston, Beatrick Wise, we have some good young talent at defensive end. But with losing Chris Smith and Trey Flowers, it's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It would be nice to see them come back and try to help the rebuilding process, but you can certainly understand if the money's there.
Yeah.
Jason, appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
Yeah, Trey Flowers just calling a teleconference. That's what the news came out this morning, and usually you don't call a teleconference unless you're going.
Yeah, teleconference to Sam Stan.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Tennessee's Jordan McCray, the senior guard, named SEC Player of the Week. More importantly for those of us around here, Arkansas's Bobby Portis, named Freshman of the Week again after recording his second double-double, 19-10, to go with three assists, three blocks, and two steals against Texas San Antonio. Arkansas won by, 50?
Let's see. What was it, 104-70? I think they just covered the spread, a little over 30.
Okay.
Yeah, 32, something like that.
Well, Texas San Antonio clearly not ready for the big time. Arkansas with a huge game. It's tomorrow night, right?
I believe it might be Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Let me check.
I don't have the schedule in front of me
yet. Check my schedule.
I do know they're playing Texas A&M to start conference play, and it is a big one for Arkansas. It is Wednesday.
Yes.
Very good.
Wednesday. And you can see that game. You know, you can hear it on the buzz.
Yeah, you can. It's a Fox Sportsnet TV game, and it's an 8 o'clock tip. So hopefully they can pull that one off and get started on the right foot. Any road win will be a good one. And that's an A&M team that is down a little bit, and that's to say, that's probably an understatement because they're really not great right now. Hopefully Arkansas can go down there and get them a win.